Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the GBAC Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And joining us now from All City Dallas, it's our favorite Mavs writer, Tim Cato. And a good afternoon to you, Timmy. How the heck are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Well, doing pretty good. You know, we need some good vibes flowing through Dallas sports. And we're
not on the injury report, so that's a plus.
Not officially.
You haven't heard about his bad hip, though, Tim.
Eric's got illness. I mean, he's questionable.
I got the Najee Marshall stuff going on right here. You got bad hips. Don't forget about the gout over there with the big man. So we're all hurting.
All fighting through something, Tim. And we're hoping the Mavs can win tonight. What do you say?
I think there's a chance this isn't one of the games that's maybe circled as a likely win, given their, you know, just all the injuries they have. And it's going to be rough, guys. You know, it's going to be a tough few weeks. You know, a lot of eyes right now are on Kyrie and just how serious that back injury is. You know, if he is missing, you know, if that's something that flares back up or continues to persist, that's not a good thing. But, you know, I sincerely think that Dallas right now, perspective wise, they have to look at their season and just accept that they're probably going to be a play-in team.
Ooh.
And yeah, that's going to be okay, you know, like to weather the storm and to at least get there and have that chance. And, you know, this is still a very, very good team when healthy, but it may be that, you know, unfortunate of a, you know, just cursed of a season right now with Dallas really struggling with, you know, they're not built for Kyrie and Luka both to be out. And so that's something that the entire team is trying to figure out right now.
There's so many, you know, interesting angles we could take it through. I'm wondering if you've heard about anything. Is there a plan on changing the approach or how they attack without Luka and Kyrie for at least these next 1 to 2 weeks?
I mean, there's only so much you can do, which is I think is the unfortunate reality of this all. You know, I thought it was interesting how Jason Kidd chose to start, you know, the game against Memphis last night. He went big, you know, he went with no traditional point guard. Spencer Dinwiddie wasn't out there. Not even Quentin Grimes was out there. It was a big lineup. It had Maxi, PJ, Derek Lively, you know, Klay Thompson and Najee Marshall. Only stuck with that lineup for about 5 minutes in that game overall, a few more when you include Gafford, who also now has an ankle injury. So Mavericks are down even more players. But I do wonder if the path for Dallas to sneak some wins, you know, to steal some wins while Luka and Kyrie are going to be out is, you know, it starts with the defense. And, you know, Derek Lively's been the anchor all season. It's so stark when he's on the court versus when he isn't. So I do wonder if that's one small area that Dallas can really lean in defensively and hope that can, you know, power them through some games that otherwise are going to be very tough to create. You know, it doesn't matter how many guards you put on the court. You know, it's going to be tough to create without Luka and Kyrie. So maybe leaning into the defense is kind of their best hope.
Tim, we saw Brian Windhorst report that the Mavs have been the most aggressive on the phones, it seems like, so far for this trade season. And Nico's done an incredible job both years at the deadline. But who do you think maybe they could be going after? I mean, financially, the Jimmy Butler stuff didn't seem to make any sense. And have their needs changed now with the injuries?
You know, Mark Stein on our show on DLLS, he's been reporting that they're most interested in adding front court depth, maybe getting another backup big, somebody who can improve what Maxey, just isn't quite able to offer them as much as he ages. I don't think it's time to go make a panic move for a point guard. But at the same time, if you have, serious, if the news comes back and it's not looking good that Kyrie is going to, he's going to miss more time. That's this 1 to 2 weeks that right now they're kind of looking at, I guess it's something you have to at least consider, at least, play around with, because, this team's window, by going and getting Kyrie, who is a free agent, can be a free agent this summer. The expectations he's going to be back, but, certainly by going and getting Klay Thompson, a 35-year-old, this team's, this exact window for this roster, is finite, just like any window in the NBA. So, right now, my gut says that this is actually going to make it a little bit tougher for them to make moves, just because of all the uncertainty and just not being able to see the team on the court. But, that said, it's Nico Harrison. He's made a deal every single trade deadline. So, at the same time, it would not shock me at all if Dallas is indeed, not just active, but going to, finding a way to pull a trigger on something they think makes the team better.
Tim, are they just going to be in too big of a hole? I know you mentioned the play-in situation and all that, but is it going to be, everybody comes back and now you have to get back into the basketball shape and all that. Is it just going to be too much of an ask to have to navigate even trying to get into the play-in situation?
So here's the situation. Dallas has 20 wins. They have 20 more games until they hit the All-Star break. They have 26 games after the All-Star break. When this team has been healthy, when they've had their starting five, they've won about 4 out of every 5 games. So right now, I think if you're Dallas, you have to assume, you have to plan on everything being healthy. Now, not a lot of margin for error,
right?
But you can probably go get 20, 21 wins after the All-Star break if everything is healthy, if everybody's healthy, everybody's back, everything's clicking. Last season, it took 46 wins to make the play-in tournament. Nobody's at that pace. The team in 10th, last season was the Warriors. They had 46 wins. Just a ridiculously hard conference. You can't rule that out. But right now, it's the Kings that are in 10th place, and they're a game under 500. So, they're on pace to make it with 10, with 40 or 41 wins. And so, if that margin for error, 20 wins plus the 20-21 that you're assuming after the All-Star break, it'd be great for Dallas to get just like 5 or 6 games in the stretch. And, if you can get 6 or 7, and then you have a little bit more margin for error, assuming the Western Conference isn't quite as hard, that it's not actually going to be 46 wins to make it into the play-in. But this is kind of the math that Dallas has to be thinking about, and they have to be really circling games that are a little bit more gettable, like a road game to Washington later this month, a road game to New Orleans. Like those are the type of games that they really have to be prioritizing, looking ahead at, and making sure that, if it's on the second night of a back-to-back, maybe it's the first night where, some of the veterans don't play, because right now they really need to, be very pragmatic about how they go about trying to get some wins while Luka and Kyrie are out.
It's Tim Cato breaking down this Mavs situation with you from All City Dallas. So how long do you expect Luka to be out? Is that All-Star break?
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Or is there a chance he's back before then?
I think All-Star break is a possibility. It might take until then. Dallas isn't going to reassess him. He's not playing this month. That does not mean that, it's very possible he could come back a little bit sooner. It just really depends on where his rehab's going. And on January 7th, it's just hard to know exactly, where he's at with all that. So I think that, it'd be great to get him back maybe 3 games before the All-Star break. Maybe you know, pick up a couple wins going into it, and then you have another break. You know, at this rate, you know, because of the games he's missed, Luka's, he's not going to be an all-star. He's not going to be an all-NBA player. The same is probably true for Kyrie, although we'll have to see. So just getting to the break, maybe getting your players back, you know, the week before or something like that. I think that's kind of the best case scenario with Kyrie. Certainly he could be back sooner. You know, there's just a lot of questions whenever it comes to a back injury. And that would be important. But yeah, with Luka, you know, it would be very fortunate for, I think the team would feel very fortunate if they did get him back sooner than the All-Star break. It's a possibility. But I think the team is steeling itself for the possibility that it does take until afterwards that he's back on the court.
Are we at the point with Luka now where if you go on a long run with him in one season, then the next season you can kind of chalk it up to it's going to be tough sledding for him, and then you can kind of get back like every other year kind of deal with Luka?
I mean, it's an interesting question. That has been the recent history. I mean, this is the most serious injury he's ever dealt with, though. You know, I think 2 years ago when he went to the conference finals, yes, there was tough moments, but, you know, he wasn't missing games to this degree. And the failures, the reason the team, you know, missed the playoffs entirely, they ended up with, you know, the pick that they got Derek Lively with. The reasons for that were much more roster-based than Luka specifically. So, I don't know. Maybe it's. I think it's a little bit too early to say, but that has been a little bit of a trend. But you know, I'm not ruling that out. And you know, every single time Luka comes into a new NBA season, you know, I guess I have optimism that this is going to be the season where, you know, just everything goes smoothly. But you're 100% right. Thus far, that has not been the case.
Tim, I wonder your take on the ratings conversation in the NBA and the numbers being down, and obviously you saw the NFL kind of dunk on them for the Christmas Day, which used to be synonymous with NBA basketball. Do you think it's something to do with the style of play, the load management? I mean, is there anything fixable in your opinion, or is it kind of overblown?
I think some of it is about selling the product better. You know, the idea that there's too many threes being taken when not every three is the same type of shot, you know, like not every three is created the same way. You know, teams don't play exactly the right, you know, the same way that, you know, obviously, you know, like a lot of the threes that are being taken are just, you know, spot up 18 footers that are being extended. But when it comes to the ratings, that's not really the conversation. The conversation is, how do you get that to translate? How do you get that understanding to translate to the fan? Because, you know, there are a lot of complaints from fans just saying, oh, there's too many threes. And so I think, you know, everybody, you know, who watches the NFL understands a route tree. You know, I think the NFL does a very good job selling the nuances of its coverages. And, you know, like, you know, Jason Witten, you know, just sat down in his zone, you know, pick your, you know, the newest tight end who does that. But, you know, sitting down in a zone, that is a concept that everybody talks about and everybody is familiar with, you know, in the same way that, you know, I don't think people talk about, well, you know, it's not that the defense wanted to leave that corner 3-point shooter open. It's that, you know, Luka was in a pick and roll and the guy had to tag in to take away the alley-oop dunk. But then Luka also looked off the player, you know, to a different player, and he got the defense to move. You know, I think that would go a little ways to helping things. But the other thing is just, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Obviously the ratings are, you know, they matter to an extent, but you know, the NBA just signed an enormous television deal. So my perspective is that there is something there, and I think the NBA could do a better job kind of selling this product. But, you know, this is not a crisis is the way I guess I view it.
Tim Cato with us. When you look at the trade deadline, are there untouchables other than Luka and Lively on this roster for you? Who are the guys you're looking to keep? And how attractive of a package could they get if something really tantalizing becomes available?
Yeah, I mean, it's Luka, it's Kyrie, it's Derek Lively, it's Klay Thompson too. You know, just from the human element, you can't go sign a player and then trade him. Like just from a franchise perspective, like good luck ever getting another Klay Thompson if you turn around and trade Klay, you know, when he is clearly not the one who would be pushing for that. So outside of that, you know, I think Dallas is going to be a little bit strapped to, you know, they have a couple first round picks they can deal, and maybe if they keep sinking in the standings, then their first round pick this year becomes a little bit more appealing to a team that would go trade for it. But at the same time, if you're making a trade for a good player that you think is going to make your team better, you know, the team you're dealing with is going to look at that pick and look at where you are in the standings and just say, well, you're going to rise, you're going to make a run because we just made your roster better. So it's a tricky thing. I think the more I talk about it, the more I think that, yeah, it's just, I don't think Nico's going to make it through. Yeah, I don't think this is going to be his first trade deadline where he doesn't do something. We'll just see how big of a thing it is and where Dallas kind of allocates their resources and, you know, if they need to make a, not a panic move, but a, you know, some sort of insurance for these guys who are absent or whether they just kind of focus on improving the roster overall.
Man, I love your perspective, though, on maybe you just need 41 wins. There's no need to panic as long as they can get healthy by the time they're coming out of the All-Star break and pick up some gravy wins between now and then. They should be okay, and then you just try to get to mid-April healthy, right?
Yeah, and ideally, like, you want the 7th or the 8th seed. I think that's totally fine. You just want to avoid the scenario where you lose once and your season's over and you want to avoid the Thunder in the first round. Otherwise, I think, quite frankly, I feel pretty fine if as long as Dallas gets there and they're healthy when they get there. I still think this team is really good and can make some noise.
Well, thank you so much for your time and insights, Tim. Enjoy the rest of the season. We'll catch up with you soon.
Happy to do it.
Cheers. There he goes. Tim Cato, All City Dallas. One of the best Mavs writers out there and an absolute treasure. I mean, there's nothing you can ask him that he hasn't thought through and has an amazing answer for you. So there you have it, Mavs fans. Getting ready to take on the Lakers tonight, who have bounced back. They are 5th in the West, Los Angeles is. They've won 7 of 10. So I know they went on the skids there in early December, but they're back to playing some pretty dang good basketball. Okay, I have 10 options for head coach if the Cowboys do move on from Mike McCarthy coming up at 4:40. But a top 10 is next. Well, Chuck, what's in store?
It is Nicolas Cage's 61st birthday. I know Lucius is a Nicolas Cage lover. What are your favorite Nick Cage movies? We'll do that next in The Nation.